This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studios, Randy Dixon, who is the director of the Pryor Center for, help me out here, Randy.
Arkansas Oral and Visual History.
Yes, I know all the words are in there. I don't always get them in the right order. How long have you been there now?
Coming up on 6 years. We just joined the Fulbright College.
Welcome.
Thank
members
you.
Members of that as well.
Yeah.
There are many things that the Pryor Center has done and is doing. The one that we're going to be talking about in this visit and subsequent visits is a project that is literally bringing so much material to the fingertips of Arkansans and citizens of the world.
Yes. We have the KATV news collection. KATV is the ABC affiliate in Little Rock.
And has been for 60-plus years.
Yes. And they have donated 26,000 hours of news footage. So we are in the process of digitizing that. We're well into it. Thanks to Barbara Tyson and the Tyson Foods Foundation, they gave us a very generous gift to do this. And we are now digitizing the oldest film that we have that dates from the mid-50s to the late 70s.
And when you say film, you're, literally, this is these are on reels.
16-millimeter news film, yes. And so we're shipping them off to the Media Preserve, which is in Pennsylvania, and they specialize in the restoration and digitization of film and videotape. So once we get the film done, we'll begin shipping off the additional 25,000 tapes, videotapes. They come back to me on huge hard drives, and then I go through all of the reels to make sure that the description or metadata is correct and matches the time code, because what we intend to do, and before the end of the year, we will have material on our website in a searchable format. So if you go on and you want to type in Bill Clinton, Attorney General, it will show you all of the clips, and then we will match the description to that clip. And so you click on it, and there it is. You watch it.
And these are clips that ran on the nightly news.
Yes.
And you, we should point out, you worked at KATV.
I did for 31
years. For 31 years.
Yes.
Which means you started when you were
19.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're kind of going through 1973 right now?
Yes. The summer and fall of 1973. And, of course, all the talk was about Watergate.
Right.
It had broken. The investigation was beginning. And so Channel 7, of course, got responses from all of the Arkansas politicians and delegation. So that's what I've brought with me
today.
Okay.
Well, and we're going to start with Senator Bill Fulbright.
Yes.
And he was asked, I guess this was at a—
He was speaking, and Nixon had denied and that he knew about the break-in, and the investigation was about to begin. And so Senator Fulbright addressed that.
Well, the overall plan— What I make this distinction. He may not have been aware that they put a tape on the lock in the basement of the Watergate. That's a matter of carrying out an overall plan. But the idea that they're going to do to find out what's going on in the Democratic headquarters, of course he knew it. He couldn't possibly not have known it. And these are practices, and these activities of setting up committees and the type of thing, the general type of thing of discrediting the opposition, discrediting Mr. Muskie. I mean, how any reasonable person can doubt that he knew it.
We'll hear even later of him talking about impeachment.
Then, of course, there are the tapes.
Yes.
And a name that longtime Arkansans will remember— Congressman Bill Alexander.
Yes, from the 1st District.
Right. Back when the 1st District would elect Democrats.
Yes.
Back when Arkansas elected Democrats,
yes,
to go to Washington. That
doesn't happen anymore. The whole delegation
That's right.
was Democrat, except for John Paul Hammerschmidt from up here.
That's right. So Congressman Bill Alexander is asked about the president not wanting to hand over the tapes?
Right. At first, the White House offered a summary only. And ended up going before the Supreme Court. And, of course, they ruled that the president was obligated to release the tapes to the government investigators.
It will relieve the pressure somewhat of those who will insist upon, as I do, that the full truth be known about the Watergate case, inasmuch as the tapes appear to be the best evidence that will produce the truth about Watergate. I think that it will relieve somewhat the pressures that have been brought to bear this past weekend.
Do you feel like impeachment is a very good possibility at this time?
I have never really felt that impeachment was a probability. I have felt that the probability has increased some since the last Friday's announcement that President Nixon would offer a summary of the tapes rather than a transcript.
Of course, President Nixon is a central character in Watergate, but what is fascinating here is we're talking about also some of the central characters in Arkansas political history of the last 50 or 60 years. We heard from Senator Fulbright.
Yes, and from Congressman Alexander.
Right. Now, another congressman, then congressman.
Yes.
David Pryor.
Yes. He was asked about the tapes that had just been announced that they would be released, that they were going to cooperate.
I thought Sunday and Monday that impeachment was going to be a certainty. Yesterday afternoon at 1 or 2 o'clock, when the attorney for Mr. Nixon did announce that the tapes would be released to Judge Sirica, I then thought impeachment might be something that was not quite so real, but I do feel very strongly that sometime in the next 2 or 3 months that Richard Nixon will resign as President of the United States.
And, of course, David Pryor later becomes Senator David Pryor.
Yes.
The namesake of—
Well, then governor.
That's right. Yeah. Now, we should mention another name here before we hear some other clips, and that's Jim Pitcock.
Yes.
Because he never served elected office, as far as I know.
No.
But he's a legendary name in Arkansas as well.
He is, and he is the person responsible for all of this being saved. He was the longtime news director, was also on the air at KETV, but he was the person who decided all of this material needs to be saved, it needs to be cataloged to use at some later point, and now we are.
And he actually, in this next clip we're going to hear, it's not Watergate specific, but he's talking to then-Governor Dale Bumpers.
Yes. About the climate and the lack of trust that the public had in basically politicians.
The people in the country are very apprehensive. They're just apprehensive about where we're going and when are we going to get back on track and when is all this going to end. And more importantly, perhaps, is where is it all going to end? And I think that there's never been a time in the history of the country where people were literally crying for forceful leadership that will restore people's faith in government, remove their apprehensions, and let them know that we are indeed back on track to solving some critical problems.
I've heard you say many, many times that your father once told you that politics is an honorable profession. Have you ever had second thoughts about that?
Well, I'll tell you, politics is, in my opinion, it is. He said it was a noble profession, though, to use his exact words, and of course I talked about that a lot when I first ran for governor. Needless to say, I've had plenty of cause to reflect on that since then, but I think it's still eminently correct that politics is a noble profession. This doesn't mean that everybody that's in politics is noble, and you have to make that distinction.
This is, what, 73, so it's 45 years ago.
Yes.
You can really see, or maybe I'm being over-anxious in connecting some dots, but you can hear some of the roots of consternation or concern that develop over the next 4.5 decades about trust in public government.
Yes.
That we have tenfold now.
That would be accurate, yeah.
Yeah, that's starting now. All right, we heard from Senator Fulbright earlier. Now we've moved along, and the I word has come up.
Yes. You know, this was something new to the public, impeachment. And so he actually went through and sort of gave a little government lesson and explained how impeachment works.
The polls reflect that the American people have a great anxiety about the impeachment process. A study of the Constitution should relieve such anxiety because, should the president be impeached and convicted and thus removed from office, our system of government would not collapse, nor would it cease to function. The vice president would immediately assume the office of president, and the business of government would continue as before, with an honest man exercising the functions of the executive. The House of Representatives is presently performing its constitutional function in considering the bill of impeachment presented to it. That process is no cause for alarm. It's no matter for the no matter what the eventual outcome of those proceedings may be. If the House should vote a bill of impeachment, it will then come to the Senate for a trial of the charges, approval of which requires a two-thirds vote of the Senate. As a member of the Senate, it is inappropriate for me to express an opinion about the merits of this particular proceeding, and I have an open mind about the matter. My remarks are addressed to the process and not to a specific case, and I do not intend now or in the future to form or express an opinion on the guilt or innocence of any man until I have heard all the facts and all the evidence in a proper forum.
And you know, what's interesting about this, Randy, is that now, if there is some government term that we're not familiar with and we want to know how it works, we pull out our phone, right?
Right.
At that point, Senator Fulbright on KETV explaining how impeachment works, it might be the only chance you get.
He was giving a civics lesson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that
it might
or
be
you go to the library.
Right. Or, of course, newspaper. But
yes.
But it just wasn't readily available.
That's right. But we can hear from Senator Fulbright one last time, and he's discussing the impending impeachment that seems to be about to happen.
I hope that whatever course impeachment proceedings take, that the matter is disposed of, not with haste, but with dispatch. We must get on with the process, render our decision, and put it behind us. This country has urgent business to attend to, and we must get on with that. Impeachment, after all, is not a radical, revolutionary, or dangerous idea. The founding fathers, in their inspired wisdom, provided for it in the Constitution, and it should be viewed calmly and dispassionately. They realized that the strength of the institutions they were creating would vastly transcend in their strength and durability the fate of any one man or any one faction of men. Presidents can come and go with greater or lesser regularity, but the Constitution will remain. This nation, armed with the basic strength of its institutions and buttressed by the moral fiber of its people, is not entering the twilight of its existence merely because a few of its leaders are in political trouble.
And Senator Fulbright, these are all clips from the summer and fall of 73. So
yes.
By the end of this, we're still almost a year away from the resignation.
Right, right. It was a long investigation. And, of course, when it appeared that the House was about to impeach, that's when Nixon resigned, August 9th, 1974.
What's it like at your editing bay, getting these back, and you're seeing, I mean, you think about these names, your entity and my entity, part of the Fulbright College, you work at the Pryor Center.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not just watching them talk about history, you're watching these figures that become, you know, foundation for the next 50 years for Arkansas.
Well, and some of them I covered.
Yeah.
It was the TV station I worked for 30 years. So things are going to start overlapping a little bit. I mean, this was before my time, but, you know, I covered both Bumpers and Pryor when they were senators. And it's fascinating to sit there and watch this material because it's old film. But the way they have restored it and the way they digitize it – it looks like it could have been shot yesterday. You looked at it. It's just so, the colors are so rich because film's just a beautiful medium.
It really is. Now, by the end of the year, some, not all, everybody, but some of this material is going to be available.
Yes.
And for free.
Well, and we will continue to add material as it comes in. So it's a very tedious process, but I think it's very important to make it available.
Where can people learn more? And this isn't the only thing that's at the Prior Center website, of course.
Right. We also do long-form interviews with Arkansans, talk about their lives and experiences in the state. That's how everything started when David and Barbara Prior started the center.
Where can people find out more?
Google Prior Center, P-R-Y-O-R, and it'll come up.
Randy, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Randy Dixon is the director of the David and Barbara Prior Center for Oral and Visual History, located on the square in downtown Fayetteville. The center is part of the Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. And late next week, on our Friday the 16th show, Randy will be back in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio with more clips from Arkansas's past, including the voices of Faye Jones, Bill Clinton, and Burt Reynolds. That will be late next week on Ozarks at Large.